common phrase in the English language, which some say dates back to the 1300s, the phrase forgive and forget. From the play or the documentary, the script of Don Quixote, written back in early 1600s by Miguel Cervantes, he wrote, "Let us forget and forgive injuries." William Shakespeare, from King Lear, is credited with saying, "Pray you now, forget and forgive." Many also believe that the phrase "forgive and forget" is biblical. Some believe that God forgives and forgets our sins, and that we should too. Well, we've just come through the Days of Unleavened Bread, observing the Days of Unleavened Bread, and one of the major themes of Unleavened Bread is, of course, having our sins forgiven and continuing to live a life of overcoming sin. And our loving God certainly does offer to forgive our sins. And he clearly wants us to forgive as well. But does God actually totally forget our sins? If so, why did someone like David, who repented and had his sins forgiven, why did he still have to face the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba, for example, in the book of 2 Samuel? And if God does totally forget, completely erase from his memory our sins, does he expect us to forgive and forget as he forgets? One of my favorite verses in the book of Psalms is Psalm 103 and verse 12. This is always a very comforting verse for me, has been and continues to be. Much of this psalm speaks about God's mercy and God's love, God's willingness to forgive, and that God doesn't punish us according to our iniquities, as it says in verse 10. But in Psalm 103, verse 12, there is this statement: "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Again, it is a comforting verse to know that when God forgives our sins, that they are removed, it says, from us, as far as the east is from the west. But does he completely forget them? I've always thought that that was the case for many years, that yes, that God just completely forgets and totally erases from his memory our sins. But again, it says he removes our transgressions from us. Again, does he totally forget our sins when he forgives them? I think it's common to believe that that's the case, that once God forgives our sins, he completely forgets our sins. Our sins are often quite embarrassing and troubling to us. We would like to be able to completely forget them, and perhaps wish that God would too. We want God to forget all of our sins and all the transgressions of our past life, but is that exactly what the Bible says happens? Does the Bible say God will forgive our sins and totally, completely forget them? There are really two parts to this question. Once we have repented, we know that God purges, or does God purge from his memory? Does God purge from his memory of any and all of our sins so that he forgives our transgressions and that memory of them does not exist at all in his mind anymore and can never be recalled? Is that the case? And second, again, God is our example in everything, including being a forgiving God. So again, the second part to that question, if true forgiveness requires God to purge and forget and never recall, does it require us to do the same, that we forgive, forget, and never recall? And if we don't, then we're not following God's example. Is that the case? Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, because if that's the case, well then, Mark chapter 11 is very sobering. If we still remember and recall any offense or sin against us that has been committed in the past, and maybe we've forgiven that individual or that offense, but what about Mark 11 verse 26? Are we also required to do as God does if he forgets completely and we don't? Are we in violation of this? Mark 11 and verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So if forgiving also involves completely forgetting, never even remembering, and we can't do that, have we violated this, or is it just a matter of forgiving? Well, again, I think it's a question that some have asked, and certainly one of the greatest truths of the Bible is that God loved us so much and loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us. Jesus Christ was sacrificed. He sacrificed his life to pay for our sins in order to forgive us when we repent. We know that God is certainly a merciful God. And again, that statement in Psalm 103, verse 12, I think is comforting, that God removes from us our sins as far as east is from the west. God clearly forgives. There's no doubt about that. But many have asked if he really does completely forget. Does he really forget? Let's turn to a few verses. Psalm 25, for example, there are some passages that seem to indicate that God does indeed remove all knowledge, repented sins from his mind. There are some scriptures that would seem to say that to us. Psalm 25, verse 7. David prayed this, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O eternal." Do not remember the sins of my youth, David petitioned God. How about Jeremiah 31 and verse 34? Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. "No more," Jeremiah wrote, "shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord God. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Their sin, he said, I will remember no more. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 22. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 22, "None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. None of his transgressions shall be remembered." Now, when you go to the New Testament, there is this statement in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12, which is simply a quote. What we read in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, it's repeated in Hebrews, later on in Hebrews 10:17. But here in Hebrews 8 verse 12, the quote from Jeremiah, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." I will remember no more. So there are these verses that talk about God not remembering our transgressions, not remembering our sins. But it's interesting, when you look, there isn't anywhere in the Bible that says God will forget our sin. It only says that he will not remember them. And that distinction is important, especially when we understand what the Hebrew words for remember and forget mean. It can help us understand clearly what's going on. In English, the word remember generally focuses on the idea of recalling memories or bringing past things to mind. As we get older, that seems to be more and more of a challenge sometimes, but remembering means bringing things to mind, calling things to mind, recalling memories. Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines remember as to bring to mind or think of again. To bring to mind or think of it again. And so there are many things, you know, that one of the things we probably have forgotten how to remember is our phone numbers and friends' phone numbers, because we have it all so quickly in our cell phone and we don't even remember phone numbers. I don't even remember my wife's cell phone number because I've got it plugged in my phone. I can bring it up quickly that way. But there are things that we remember in our mind. We can recall past memories, and that's how we understand remember in English, in the English language. In English, to forget is the exact opposite. To fail to be able to bring a memory to mind. Unable to think of it, we walk from one room to another, we get to that room, and why am I here? We forget why we walked into this room. Sometimes that happens. We fail to remember. Or as Merriam-Webster says, to lose the remembrance of, or to be unable to think of, or to recall. And in English, remembering, forgetting, are entirely mental exercises about whether or not the information is present. The information isn't present, we forget. The information is present, we remember. It's something that happens entirely in the mind. But in the Hebrew, it's not that way. It's different. The primary word for remember in Hebrew, Z-A-K-A-R, zakar, but the meaning is much broader, much bigger meaning than the common definition for remember in English. In Hebrew, remember includes both bringing a thought to mind, recalling it, but the word remember also includes the action that a person takes as a result of remembering. It includes both, not just a mental exercise, but also what a person does with those memories. And it can often imply that a person did a favor for someone, did something for someone, or honored a promise, or honored a covenant. He remembered them, doing something for them. A couple of examples, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. I think we'll illustrate this. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. Interesting that Genesis 8 verse 1 says, then God remembered Noah. Now, he hadn't forgotten Noah the way we would consider forget in the English language, but it says, then God remembered Noah, every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. So here the word remembered doesn't just mean, oh yeah, now I remember it's Noah. It means God remembered and did something about it, began to cause the flood waters to subside. Genesis 30 and verse 22 is another example. Genesis 30 and verse 22. Here we're told that then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. He remembered Rachel. Obviously, God had not forgotten about either Noah or Rachel, but he remembered in that he took action. He did something. He intervened in their lives in some way. He remembered them and then took action in their lives. So that's the word remember in Hebrew. It can mean either just recalling to mind or doing something for them or both. Now, the words for forget in the Hebrew, also interesting that there are really two primary words for forget. In Hebrew, the first word, S-H-A-K-A-C-H, shakach, shakach, S-H-A-K-A-C-H, and N-A-S-H-A-H, nasha, N-A-S-H-A-H. But they're not exact opposites of the word remember. They're not just the exact opposite of that Hebrew word zakar, which meant remember. In addition to not being able to bring a thought to mind, which forget means, but in addition to that, in the Hebrew, it also means to choose to ignore. Choose to ignore, to neglect, to forsake, or to disregard. So it's more than just, oh, I can't remember, I can't call it to mind, I've forgotten. It's these other things too, ignore, neglect, forsake, disregard a person or a promise. Remember, Israel was warned often not to forget God. And it wasn't just a matter of you can't recall who God is or what God is or that there is a God. It's not what that was about. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 23, for example. Deuteronomy 4, and verse 23. As they were going into possess the promised land, Deuteronomy 4, verse 23, these were instructions from God. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Here, forget doesn't mean just, oh, I can't remember. What was it now? No, here, forget means they wouldn't do it. They disregarded it, and they didn't fulfill their part of things. So it was more than just erasing the memory of it, but it included the action of forsaking it. In this case, the word forget. And then in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 23, all of this will help us understand, I think, in answering that question, does God forget our sins when he forgives us? Jeremiah 23, verse 39. Jeremiah 23, what did God mean when he said this? Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, Israel, and forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And God said he would utterly forget them. He was saying that he would no longer honor the covenant with them because they had broken it. Well, it doesn't mean that he couldn't remember it. Oh, what was I supposed to do? Not at all. That he just would no longer do it, no longer honor it. That he would cease to intervene on their behalf. That's what it's talking about here. Not erase the knowledge from his memory, but he would just no longer intervene for them. So it helps to understand a little bit about the language in which the Bible was written, the Hebrew and the Greek. In this case, the Greek wording has similar distinctions, or remember, forget, as we see in the Hebrew. So when God chooses never to remember our sins again, it means that he has chosen to purge them from our record, and then he treats us as if the sin never existed. He makes a choice. He chooses to purge them from our record, and then treat us as if the sin never existed. Since remembering implies action, that's the action God takes in this case. But remembering implies action. In some cases, God's vengeance and punishment. So choosing not to remember means God will not take action against us because of our sins, the ones we have repented of. That is, he deliberately chooses not to exact punishment that would be due us for our sins because he treats us grace and forgiveness. He makes that as a choice, as an action that he takes. So think about this. If God, let's just say, if God does remove all knowledge of our sins from his mind and totally erases any memory of our sins, totally forgets, completely forgets. If God did that, how could he have inspired the Bible to be written, including the sins of David, Abraham, Joseph, Peter, individuals who clearly repented of their sins? God forgave them, but if he totally couldn't remember their sin anymore, how could he cause those things to be recorded in the Bible? long after they had sinned, repented, and in some cases died. If he had totally erased the memory of those sins from his mind. And again, what about David's punishment? Why did God still allow the death of David's son after David had repented and God had forgiven David's sin? And still David's son died. Certainly one reason is because punishment is a powerful learning tool. And we've all experienced that in our lives. Sometimes we've been punished for our foolishness, our sins, just because of the natural result of the sin. Or sometimes God punishes because it is a powerful learning tool. And God doesn't promise to take away all the consequences of sin. And so we learn from that as well. David needed to learn a lesson so powerfully that he would never repeat it. God allowed that to happen. And those who saw David's action and what happened also needed to learn a powerful lesson, and they did as well. Well, again, if God removed all knowledge and erased his memory of sins that have been forgiven and repented of, how could he recorded those things in the Bible to be written so that we could learn from them? So how do we apply these principles, and how are we expected to apply these principles when it comes to forgiving and forgetting in our lives? Again, the days of unleavened bread were certainly powerful reminders of some of the responsibilities we have in overcoming sin and thanking God for forgiveness of our sins and Christ's sacrifice and the subject of forgiveness. God forgiving and we forgiving as he forgives us. All of that was an important part of Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And we had some powerful reminders about that. So how are we expected to apply these principles? Human beings really don't have the ability to completely erase many of our experiences from our memories. Maybe small offenses we may have totally forgotten about. But major sins against us, or major offenses, or major troubles against us, large and serious things, we generally don't have the capacity to forget those completely. They stick in our minds, and we recall those things. We generally don't have the ability to completely erase those memories. So for a human being to forgive as God forgives means that we make a choice. Forgive, and we choose to lay aside our grievances. We choose to lay aside those grievances and the debt. We lay aside any debt we may feel is owed us from those wrongs that were committed against us. We choose to put those aside as God does for us. That's how we forgive as God forgives. There is a big difference, though. God does it perfectly. God can do it perfectly. And I can't, and you can't. We, as human beings, may need to do this over and over again. As we go through life, as the memory and the pain from an offense or sin against us comes back to our mind, we end up having to do it over and over again. Maybe that's what Christ had in mind when we read in Matthew 18. Maybe that's exactly what he had in mind. What we find here in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. Matthew 18, in verse 21. Because Peter asked a question about forgiveness. Peter came to Christ and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." In other words, however many times that's needed. And maybe this principle of forgiving 70 times seven, maybe in the course of a lifetime, as we go through life and continue to learn lessons, there may be some offenses or sins against us that we have to choose to put aside time after time because some reason they come back and we think about them and we find ourselves getting angry again, or, you know, feeling like something is owed us, and we decide, no, we choose to put that aside. We've forgiven the individual long ago, but we also choose to put aside any further grievance or debt that may be owed us. And so 70 times 7 may mean as many times as it takes in a lifetime for the things that we experience in life. Now, perhaps, and I would hope in the kingdom of God, we will be able to do this perfectly, just as God does. That would be another thing to look forward to about being in God's kingdom. But in the meantime, of course, we're not there yet, so it takes a lot more love that we're learning to be hurt and choose to set aside a grievance many times, maybe over and over and over again. That really does take more love than to just erase or have the incident erased from our memories, if that were even possible. It doesn't take more love to be willing to forgive 70 times 7 and lay aside the grievance, and to forget as God forgets, and to choose not to remember or to act upon it, as God chooses not to act upon it in our case. He puts those things aside and treats us as if the sin never happened. And I think the more we learn to love one another and we grow in that, the easier it becomes to lay aside grievances and to forgive as God forgives us. That's our goal. That's really our goal. I think the Days of Unleavened Bread that we just observed remind us of that, that our goal is to learn to forgive as God forgives. So I hope that helps clear up a little bit. Psalm 103, verse 12 is still one of my favorite scriptures. It doesn't mean exactly what I had thought it meant through years, but it's still one of my favorite scriptures. And our goal and my goal ought to be, again, to learn to forgive in the same way that God forgives.